Now, it has been quite a few weeks for Clare's Anya Donegan, the Ennis golfer, who's a member of Lahinch Golf Club, was last with us after she qualified for the Women's US Open, which took place at Pebble Beach recently. Her opening round of 69 grabbed the headlines, and Anya ultimately finished her very first major, tied for 45th, and she's now preparing for another big tournament stateside, the US Women's Amateur, which will be taking place at Bel Air Country Club in California early next month. I'm delighted to say that Anya's in studio with me once again. A very good morning to you, Anya Donegan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on again.
Thanks for joining us, because I'm sure your body clock is all over the place.
Yeah, so I flew in back home just the day after the tournament ended on Monday and got in on Tuesday, so slowly adapting back to Irish time. You know, it's a big enough time difference, 8 hours, but yeah, getting there now.
Has even that those two or three days, have you been able to relax at all or unwind, or is it still getting over jet lag?
Yeah, I have been able to, thankfully. Honestly, the weather kind of helps that I have to stay inside.
You're not in California anymore.
Yeah, so that's been like better for me to just relax at home and stuff. And yeah, I'm actually doing summer school right now as well, so I have schoolwork to catch up on for college, for so I have assignments to do and stuff, so that's kind of keeping me a little bit busy at home as well.
Actually, nearly forgot about that element, and it would have been easy for you to forget about it as well, because of all the excitement around the US Women's Open and everything else that was happening, that actually you still have college work to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope not a lot.
No, not a lot. It's just one class for the summer, okay. just for the month of July, like a five week class. But it started last week, so it started the week of the US Open. So I had to email my professor and tell him that, ask him to give me an extension on the assignments that were due, because I was kind of busy.
Well, so. in fairness, Anya, that's a much, much better and more believable excuse than the dog ate my homework. You know,
I'm sorry,
sir, I'm competing in the US Women's Open, you know. But look, hopefully you get on grand with that, and it just shows how much you have to balance, because there's further tournaments coming up very shortly, as we'll get to later. But when you headed over to the States for the US Women's Open, Anya, and I know when you were chatting with us, there was a couple of tournaments prior to that you were hoping to play or did play. Got over there. Your clubs arrive a few days later, and as a lot of people will be aware, they could have arrived in better condition, particularly the driver, which was smashed to bits, which is not ideal preparation for your first major, and particularly when it's the day before.
Yeah, so I was competing with Great Britain and Ireland against the continent of Europe and Scotland, so I flew straight from Scotland. So I flew Scotland to Dublin to Newark, and then Newark to San Francisco, and when we arrived in San Francisco, the SFO, the airport there, was a mess, really. There was bags everywhere, and like lost bags that just hadn't arrived. And there was hundreds. I mean, the most I'd ever seen in an airport. So we kind of arrived and we were like, oh, I don't know if the clubs or the suitcases will even arrive. So then it took about an hour for the suitcases to even come out. I don't know. I think SFO were understaffed. And and then we waited another like 45 minutes, and then I eventually went to the desk for the clubs, and they said, oh yeah, they were scanned in Newark 2 hours ago, so they didn't arrive here. And they told me then they'd arrive at 9:45 a.m. the next morning. They'd just come on the next flight. And they were kind of just saying, like, in the airport, oh, they'll just get on the next flight, there's no worries about that, you know.
Still inconvenient to have to return to the airport to get your clubs.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew they weren't going to arrive the next morning at 9:45. Just the way that the woman was kind of telling me, she was like, there was no contact with Newark, you know, she just expected them to arrive, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, the next morning, obviously, I hear nothing, and I had a practice round to play, so I called player services, the people who were kind of running the event, and they told me, like, they asked me what clubs I'm playing, and then they said that I said ping irons anyways, and then they told me there was a ping rep up on the range, so just go up and talk to him. So that was fine, and I got, you know, replacement clubs for that practice round. And then I just said, look, I know there's a girl on my team at LSU who anytime she loses any baggage or anything, she always tweets the airline, and she gets it faster. It's a way to get it faster.
You have to name them and shame them into doing it.
Yeah, and social media, like, you can eventually like blow up from it, and then the airline has to send the bags. So I tweeted them, and then that actually got things moving. The bag arrived then that night. At, like,
it really worked.
Yeah. So then anyways, obviously I had left the golf club by the time the bags arrived. The USGA went up to the airport to collect them. And the next morning I arrived for my second practice round, and then the clubs were there, and I just went to take my driver out because I wanted to change the head cover on it, because I had the GB&I head cover on my driver, and I wanted to change it back to the Golf Ireland one, and then the head just came off, like. So then I was like, oh my God. But, you know, like, I think everyone at home, I was talking to a few of my friends over the last few days, and everyone at home was kind of panicking, thinking, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. But when I was playing the practice round with the clubs that Ping gave me, I was hitting that driver really well, and like, even my coach was over there, Gary Madden from Glenlow Abbey, and we were talking, and I was like, oh, this could be the driver for the week. And then that second practice round, I was going to bring out both drivers anyways to see which one to use, but it kind of gave me no choice, you know what I mean? It was almost not better that the driver was broken, but like, it was definite then that I had to use the Ping driver, the one that I was given.
But it's just as well it kind of suited you, because I mean, there was every chance it mightn't have, and there was very little you could do about it, and that could have thrown most people going into their first major.
Yeah, it actually would have been a disaster if that Ping one didn't suit me, and then my other one came smashed. I think that's what people were worried about. But I would have probably gone into a panic or something that if the other driver didn't suit me. But fortunately, it did, and I drove the ball well all week. Now I kind of have a bit of a relationship with Ping as well, which helps, and, you know, just for after college and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's good that came out of all of that debacle. The first round, that opening round, you were in every sports bulletin in Ireland after it. I mean, starting with two bogeys, not an ideal start, but, you know, the first major, you could expect maybe it might be a difficult start. But boy, oh boy, did you overcome that pretty quickly. You get to the 15th, you get that eagle, five birdies after that. You must have felt a bit like you're in dreamland, an opening round 69.
Yeah, So basically, at Pebble Beach, the back nine is way harder than the front nine. And playing practice rounds, I didn't really realise that. And I started on the back nine.
Yeah.
So, like, the first few holes, particularly on the back nine, are difficult, and like, I was nervous, a little bit more nervous than I usually would be at a tournament for the first few holes. And
feel like a big deal, the whole thing, where you were very much aware that, like, you're playing with some of the world's greatest players?
But to be fair, like, on the very first day, on the morning, I was out at like 7:33 a.m. so like, there wasn't that big a crowd there yet, you know, like, even for my eagle, I think it was like, there was just the USGA staff, maybe a few other people, like my family and then my family friends who were there. But like, there wasn't that many people there my first round.
But you know what? Even if there are not that many people there, the most important people are there, your family. It must have been amazing for them, but for you to have them there to see you card that round.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, once I held out for eagle then, I was kind of settled down a bit, and my college coaches were there as well. And so then I birdied 17. And then I finished my front nine, which was the back nine on the first day, one under, which for every other round I was over par for that back nine, because it's very difficult. And then all the birdies can be made pretty much on the front nine. And I didn't realise that the first day, so I was just kind of playing, you know. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, I bogeyed the first, my 10th hole. And then I birdied the next hole and the next hole. And the next hole, I went three birdies in a row. And then all of a sudden, I'm three under. And I remember on my on my 15th hole, the sixth, it's par five. And I birdied that. And there's a big, you know, scoreboard, leaderboard, kind of big TV screen kind of right beside the green. After I made that putt, I kind of just look up at it, and I was four under, and I can see on top of the leaderboard. And I was like, oh geez, you know, I didn't say anything to my coach, who was caddying for me, you know, just in case he thought that it kind of got into my head. And I actually shot a birdie the next two holes. I missed two kind of 8-foot putts for birdie on the next two holes, and then obviously, unfortunately, I bogeyed the ninth. I three putted my last hole. But yeah, it was kind of crazy then once I finished, you know. It's just, we go to scoring, and then we finish our scorecards, and then all of a sudden I'm asked to go to press conference, an interview, then another interview with Golf Channel. And I remember just going on my phone, I had like 80 notifications, and I was like, oh my God.
But I thought you handled all that really, really well on you. You know, you're still an amateur, it's your first major, you've just carded an eye-opening round of 69, and you have to do all this media. And I heard the clips, I saw the interview, thought you're carrying that pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who knows me knows I can talk. I was just, at the end of the day, like, even in college, we have a few interviews in college, at college tournaments and stuff, and it's just a conversation at the end of the day, no different to this, you know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, it hadn't really sank in, to be honest, because at the end of the day, like, when I took the interviews, I still didn't even get to go on my phone yet. So I hadn't really seen anything. I didn't really know what anybody was saying. Like, I was still kind of in that, like, I suppose when you're on the golf course, you're isolated from social media, and I was still kind of in that, you know what I mean? And then it wasn't until, like, after, when I was even trying to eat lunch and, like, talk to people, my phone was just going off like mad, and I was like, oh my God, this is kind of crazy. And, you know, I just, people texting me and new followers and comments and all that. But yeah, it was kind of like after the first day then I was like, okay, I need to focus here now and at least make the cut. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I know the morning of the Friday, two of my friends had booked their flights down from Vancouver, and I didn't tell anybody who I was with. Like, I didn't tell my family or anything, just in case I, like, missed the cut then or, like, jinxed it or something, yeah, that my friends had booked the flight down. But yeah, I know. It was the first day was pretty crazy, yeah. And then obviously then the second day, because obviously I had a good score on the first day, a lot more people came out to follow, which was really fun. And there was, you know, so many Irish people there. Like, I thought I was back in Ireland, to be honest. There was just so many Irish people there because a lot of Irish live in San Francisco and stuff. And, you know, it's not far from San Francisco. So, yeah, it was really good.
Your overall view of the tournament, Áine, you finished ultimately on 9 over, just missing out on the amateur of the tournament by one shot. I don't know, does that irk you a little bit, or does it really matter? I mean,
yeah, it does a little bit, yeah. Especially the last day, I was quite ill, to be honest. I woke up on the Sunday and I was probably run down. You know, I've kind of gone 5 tournaments in a row with no break. Yeah. And then one of them was obviously a 12-hour flight away. But yeah, so I was exhausted on the last day, like I had no energy and stuff. And obviously I missed like a 9 footer or 10 footer on the last for birdie, which would have tied me with the low amateur. I don't know if that I would have won it still. I don't know how it works, but yeah I actually know the girl who won it, and she's actually going pro after this week.
Benedetta Maresco,
yeah. So but yeah, it does a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's fine. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not something that I'm going to remember from the week that I didn't win the low am, you know? Yeah. But yeah, so that the last day was quite difficult, to be honest. I remember saying to Gary, after like literally the third hole, I was like, oh my God, I have no energy. Like, this is like exhausting. It's going to be a long day.
And it must be very difficult in a sport like golf where, you know, it's not like soccer or hurling or Gaelic football where you're tearing up and down the pitch. You're not expending energy in that way, but it's the mental side of it. You know, it's always think about when, before Rory McIlroy won his first major at the Masters, when he had that incredible round he was leading, and then he just had that car crash.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see it, you know, slumping on his clubs.
Yeah.
All the world, and it's not like you're in a team where a team is failing. It's you're an individual.
Yeah.
And to go into a round knowing you've 3 or 4 hours of golf ahead of you when you don't have the energy mentally or physically, must have been difficult.
Yeah, it was tough, yeah. It got a little bit better on the back nine, I don't know, just because I was probably outside for so long and stuff, but the front nine was tough. But no, it was fine, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the end of the world, you know what I mean? I would still have rather that than miss the cut or something, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's not something I'm going to remember from the week. But yeah, it was a little bit frustrating, but I suppose these things happen, you know.
So look, it certainly put your name on the map, if even that's what, you know, that was one of the things you wanted to happen. It has happened. You got an exemption because of that to play in the US Women's Amateur. That's at the start of next month.
Yeah, so I didn't even know that. Like, most people found out before me. I found out in the airport going home on the Monday, because I got an email. But apparently everybody knew that, oh, if you make the cut, you get exempt into the US Amateur. So two of my teammates from LSU are playing in that, and it's on in Bel Air, which is supposed to be a really, really good golf course. I mean, everyone
good shopping there as well.
Everyone kind of knows about Bel Air because it's the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but that's the only thing I know about it, really. But yeah, that'll be a little bit warmer than Pebble as well. It's a little bit more Southern California. But no, I'm really looking forward to that, and it's another trip across, so hopefully the clubs will be fine. Maybe I might fly with a different airline.
Yeah, that might be advisable. It just shows you the kind of, in the men's and women's game, the congested nature of the golfing calendar. There's so many tournaments, and you know, each tournament takes up the majority of your week. Mm-hmm. It's the women's amateur, US Women's Amateur is coinciding with the Women's Open that's going to be taking place at Walton Heath. Would you have liked to have played in that? Was there a choice there to be made?
Yeah, there was a choice. Not I have a qualifier, British, so the Women's Open, I have a qualifier for that, a final qualifier. So it's not that much different to the qualifier play to get into the US Open.
Yeah.
But because I was on that GB and I team, you get exempt into the final qualifying because there's a few stages to that, I think. And then the top three get through. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I can either play in the qualifying in England first, miss the USM, and then, you know, the chances of me actually qualifying in the top three of the field, you know, it's not that high at the end of the day. And then, like, if I play in the USM, if I was to win the USM, you get exempt into so many more things. You'd get exempt into the British Open anyways.
Oh, so, but then it's a no-brainer. Majors,
yeah, so, and it's like, I've never played in the USM. You know, you have to qualify for it most of the time. It depends on your world ranking, but a lot of people playing have to qualify for it. No different to how I qualified for the US Open. The USGA kind of have a lot of qualifiers for events. The fact that I got exempt into that it's kind of nice, and it's, you know, it's kind of something that it will be more difficult to turn that down than turn down the qualifier for the British Open.
And let's face it, on you, most Irish people at the moment, if they're in your position and they were faced with the option of, and this weather, of playing in Bel Air in the US or going to the UK where the weather is going to be similar, and you're like, I half expect to see boats going down the street here coming to work, they'd go with the option you're going with. But as you say, it's the potential to open so many more doors.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And even the course, Bel Air, it's, you know, it's an extremely exclusive course, like, and it would be very, very difficult to get out there. If I some random time I'm ever in Bel Air and I wanted to play it, like, I probably wouldn't be able to play it unless I knew a member there.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'm getting to play it for, you know, I think the entry fee is $150 or something to the event. So I'm getting to play it for, like, potentially, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 rounds. That would normally be, I mean, probably over $500 at least for one round, you know what I mean? So I think the fact that it's on in Bel Air, that course is, you know, really nice, and just the whole place, you know, LA and stuff like that, it would be hard to turn that down.
Yeah, really, really would. I tell you what, I'd like to be in your shoes at the moment anyway, that's for sure. That is kind of towards the end of the first week of August, so look, there's a few weeks there to play with between now and then, but there was a similar time period when you were last with us between our interview and the US Women's Open. So, and you had a few tournaments coming up between in that interim period. What is the next few weeks looking like? I know you were saying to me off air you'd love an L break.
Yeah. So I have a tournament in Sweden at the end of July that I've signed up for, European amateur. So it's like the USM, but it's just the European one. That's on in Sweden. I'm not sure if I'm going to play in it yet. I'm signed up to play, but I still have to decide whether I'm actually going to play or not, just to have a break. And I'd love to go abroad. I'd love to go on a little holiday for myself, just get some actual sun that I can, like, lie down by a pool in.
Sun being the operative word, but I before we came on air, I broke the news to you that maybe don't go to the Mediterranean for the next while. You'll get sun and then some.
Yeah, I'll be sick of the sun then after if I go there. But yeah, so we'll see. I'm not sure yet. I still have a bit of a few decisions to make and then see. But for now, I don't really know, to be honest.
Okay, and like in terms of LSU, Louisiana State University, I saw some articles on their website about you. They're obviously proud as punch of what you're doing, and because you're representing yourself, you're representing your county, your country, but you're representing your college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my coaches were there watching. I got them kind of backstage passes. They were allowed in the players' lounge. They got, you know, free food for the week and stuff. And you know, they had a great time. Even the fact that it was on Pebble Beach, you know, it's very,
it's one of the legendary courses, isn't it?
I feel like even people who don't play golf have probably heard of Pebble Beach, you know. So that was great. I'm going to be going back to college a little bit late because I got announced yesterday. I got invited to the Irish Open in Drumoulin.
Oh, you did get invited? Yeah. Oh, brilliant, because I was going to ask you where we're going to see at Drumoulin.
Yeah, so that got released yesterday. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. But so that's on, I think it's right at the end of August and it goes into the start of September. So college, we normally go back around, you know, the 17th or 18th, and school starts like the 23rd or something, or the 24th. So I'll take the first probably 2 weeks of class online and then go back late. So fortunately for me, my college coach is letting me stay for that Irish Open, and which I really appreciate, because, you know, the chance to play in Clare, you know, at the Irish Open and stuff. And my
that's a real double header, isn't it? Like, yeah, it's your national tournament in your home county.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I'm a member of Dromoland. Yeah. You know, I've been a member there for a good few years now. And like my friends, other than honestly the US Open and the few friends that flew down from Vancouver, and one of my friends who lives in my estate, she extended her flights. She was in San Francisco and she extended her flights for the tournament. And, you know, none of my friends have ever got to watch me play a golf tournament, you know, because they're always abroad or they're like up north in Ireland. And so it's nice that, you know, they can only drive 10 minutes down the road and watch me play in a tournament, and that it's like, you know, a professional, the Irish Open professional tournament at Dromoland. So I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, I think it'll be a really good week.
You mentioned earlier on, you know, Benedetta Maresco, who was the highest ranking amateur at the US Women's Open, is going professional. You're quite happy, though, for the time being, to remain an amateur and experience what the amateur game has to offer.
Yeah, 100%. I love LSU. I love college. I like college golf, and even just I have a degree to do. I want to come out with a degree. And yeah, just everything about college and LSU, you know, the football games. Like, I've only been to LSU for a year because I transferred from Indiana. Yeah. And no, I definitely wouldn't say no to two more years at LSU, 100%. And even the number one player in the world is on our team, and she's just graduated. But if you were in college during COVID, you get an extra year of like eligibility to play. And like, even for example, like, she's the number one amateur in the world, and she's staying for an extra year, you know, at LSU. And I think that kind of shows a lot. You know what I mean? Like, she's good enough to turn pro, you know. If anything, like, she'd be winning on the pro circuit. She's that good. But she wants to stay in college next year, do a master's, and just play for one more year and like kind of experience college life for just one last year at LSU. So yeah, definitely not going pro in the next 2 years.
Okay, well, we look forward to watching you as you continue being an amateur, and when you eventually do turn pro. And well done on your performance at the US Women's Open and getting to play Pebble Beach. You're living the dream. The closest I've ever gotten was playing the Pebble Beach course in Tiger Woods in the PlayStation 2. So I hope you enjoyed the real thing. Anya Donegan, pleasure having you in studio. Thanks so much for coming in again, and we'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.